industry is more stronger than we are. We got an objective.
We shouldn't use disposal of the stockpile or substitution orders to put pressure on the industry. He feels that any action to roll back the price should be handled on what he calls a rational basis of discussion, using logic alone. Those were his specific words. And this was definitely Jack Connor's view.
I knew that, but I thought we agreed he wasn't going to be in the meeting.
Well, he had to be present, Mr. President, because Joe and I agreed last night he'd have to be there. I told you yesterday I thought he should not be, but I changed my mind last night because if we hadn't had him there and he later learned of it, you're in even worse shape.
Let's say you weren't consulting your commerce top business advisor and that he was opposed to it. There'd be a whole lot of rumors that get out. Somebody called him and said, well, I wasn't at the meeting and that's what happened.
Well, do you want my reaction to this, these suggestions?
Well, first, we'd like your reaction to whether we should approach the industry and try to get them to roll back the price. I recommend we do.
I would like to do it, but I'm afraid to, and I don't think that our approach to them is going to have anything. I think if they have any feeling at all that they'd be willing to roll back the price, they'd be talking to us. I think that the weight on our part is farther to the thought. And I'd like to, before I show the weakness by going with my hat in hand, I'd like to have a little better feel of it than I have now. I don't think Buford's one to negotiate with him. I don't think that certainly Connor or Fowler of any of the two is not the one to negotiate with him. I think that you're going to have to negotiate with Harper. You know him, and I imagine you haven't killed as many quail with him as Buford has, but he's not interested in quail anyway. He's interested in gold. And you've got to just, if he's in a frame of mind to roll the price back, he'll roll it back to you just as well as he will for his first customer. I don't think he's in that frame of mind. I don't think he's going to be until he feels that knife long and hard. That's my judgment. I think what Buford might do is say, now, this is not my business. This is defense's business, John. And I'm not describing the frame of mind of anybody, but I hope the day doesn't go by without your talking to McNamara. Not just on the future of defense and what happens, but I think you ought to know that there are a good many commodities we can use in this country besides aluminum, number one. And I think you ought to know that we can sell, we're not going to buy any aluminum for the Vietnam or for Profiteer. We're going to buy it from our own stockpile. And if it must go that way, it must go that way. Now, if you can go back to where you were before you started jacking these prices up, upsetting our economy and the world, then you better get over and talk to McNamara. If you can't, why just forget I talked to you.
Okay, now, if he talks to me, Mr. President,
I'd be sure, though, that Harper would know that, that Buford would know that Harper's got somebody on the phone. Everything he says is going to show up in some congressional hearing. But I just say, now, John, if I can talk to you just between us, I have no responsibility in connection to this. I'm not authorized to, and I'm not directed to. But I would just say to you that you made a good move last week going talking to McNamara, but the trouble is you raised prices, and you ought to talk this thing out with him. And you better get over here today and sit down and talk to him. If you don't, you're going to wind up, I think, needing a lot of aluminum salesman, because we're going to be using paper and chemical products and steel mats and everything else, and you're going to do your industry more damage than one little half a cent's going to do. And I think he might ride him in if he has any feeling at all.
Now, if he comes in, and if I think I can get the price rolled back in return for some kind of a deal on this disposal of 1,200,000 tons remainder, can I give him an indication of that?
Sure. I would have for him 4 or 5 proposals.
I'd like to stay out of the details in the first discussion.
Well, I don't care whether it's a first or third. I'm trying to give you my feeling about what would be acceptable to me. I think you could devise 2 or 3 programs that would provide provide for an orderly distribution of these 500,000 tons that we can legitimately sell over a period of 5-6 years. And say to him, now, if you get this price down right, we would like for you to take the 150 extra we're going to use in Vietnam. If you won't agree to do it, then I'll try to cut down what we use in Vietnam to what you will take. And if you're going to only take 100, we'll try to cut it to 100 or to 75. And I would try to get as much used this next year as I could and hope that it would be 100 or more. And purely on the basis of what extra you got to use in Vietnam. But if you roll that price back, I'd make almost any concession that was reasonable, including some of their proposals made the other day. That would be my general thinking. I'd like to review it based on what we sign on to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. I understand.
Now, I may be wrong. I'm far from the picture, but I've never seen a president of aluminum company do anything for his brother, his cousin, or boyfriend, and I think he's going to be guided by the future. And I think what he's got to know is every bad thing that you could think that might happen to the aluminum company, because they're the most frightened people in the world, the average big businessman. I've never been able to divine as much that anybody thought we could do, but I know that the president of the country can do things. And I believe if Buford told him that he had overheard Califano talking about issuing an order, he wants to clear it with the president tonight, that would ask that we substitute something for aluminum, every purchase we made in the United States government, in order to relieve the pressure on scarcity. Just that, without any threat to him, but he believes that's going to come. Number two, that he believes that there will be a request for bids carefully timed over the next few weeks, periodically, that will give them more damn problems than they ever heard. And three, that he thinks that the moral obligation that Heller got into yesterday, with men dying in Vietnam, with needing extra men and needing extra materials, that I postponed this reserve decision, this control decision, last July, August. But it's going to be faced up to between now and the first of the year, and he hates to see the aluminum people get the brunt of this action and be out in the forefront while steel sits back smiling. And they're damn sure likely to get them when we call up a bunch of extra men. And I will let Buford tell him those three things and say, now, if you talk to the president, I think that some of this might have been resolved, but he's not feeling like it. He hadn't talked to you. And I think the next best thing for you to do is put on your hat and come in here and say, let's substitute reason for force, and let's see if we can't have an agreement. And I'm willing to go back to where I was the other day before I raised prices. And if you're in a position to do any of that, get over here. If you're not, well, then hold on. So it's going to be a rough sea. And that's the way I let Buford talk to him, even if it's not as rough as... Even if Joe Fowler and Connor and them don't think there's anything we can do except absorb it.
Well, I don't agree with them. All I promised was to say that there's
lots of people. Well, I think we'll be the laughing stock if we do nothing.
Oh,
I understand, though, everybody except McNamara wanting to do nothing. I just don't understand their thinking.
I don't think they appreciate the extent to which presidential...
I want to keep presidential prestige as far from it as I can. I don't want anybody to know I'm talking to anybody but Califano, even including Fowler and Connor. I would be talking to them if I did, but I don't think we can live with this without throwing everything we've got into it. And I'm willing to do it if that has to be done, and I know we can devise new ways and new means of making them wish that they didn't want that picky 1.5 cent. And I believe that they can be smart enough, as fearful as they are of public reaction, governmental policies, and so forth. And I think that we blundered seriously, inexcusably, when we let Lawson Knott call a meeting the other day. If we'd acted then, you never would have had aluminum increase. I can't say that, don't want to say it. I thought so the moment I heard it, and I thought so ever since. Now, no one can cry about spilled milk, but I think we're getting ready to do the same thing here. I think that we're going to let them talk again, and the next 24, 48 hours, they will have generated some sentiment over the country. And they have every one of their public relations men working on every congressman, wherever there's aluminum plant. And I just think that we cannot be indecisive and shifty, and we've got to say that we are going to sell. And I would tell Buford to tell them, number one, the order is now on the typewriter providing for a substantial request for bids, if that's what you do, and that he believes it'll be issued by noon tomorrow, if not before. That order is not being prepared as he understands it. He's not in on it, has nothing to do with it, he's just talking to him as a friend. That will provide that every purchasing agent substitutes some product for aluminum where it can to relieve the scarcity because of the Vietnam needs, which that'll throw in the moral thing. And number three, that there's a good feeling throughout the government that when we're going to have to call up reserves, we're going to have to get extra men in and send them to Vietnam, and we had big losses out there the last few days, that we ought to be having a fight with some profiteers. And they better get ready to ride that one out. And this business of 57 and 59, there's not a damn man in Vietnam that's been called up that's making as much as he made in 59. And they better forget about these statistics and realize that they got some patriotism. Now, if you can't talk to Johnson, and I believe you all could have resolved it, but you couldn't talk. Now, the next best thing to him is get your hat on and get out of here, and I'll take you over myself to see McNamara, and I'll sit in with you, try to help you. But if you don't, then forget I'll talk to you, and I will not talk to McNamara. He has not talked to me at all. All I'm doing is just picking up the stuff around the corners here, and I am trusted in the White House, and they don't ask for me to do the job, but I know what's going on, and I think you can be sure this is it. Now, I'll let you tell Buford all this, and then let him call over there and realize that he's got to be discreet, but he can list those three things that are happening. The order on substitutes, the order on sales, the moral question, and then say that you're not only going to bring the house down on aluminum, but you, as you can see from all the stories, the best business administration you've ever had, that relationship's going to crumble for half a penny, and it's just not worth it. And if there's anything to these Congress or anything to these other things, now we got two reports yesterday, some public relations man that works for him, it's a friend of one of our friends here. And he said, Harper thought Johnson would move, and he waited, and Johnson didn't move, and when he didn't order sale, why, Harper decided he could do it and get by with it, and he wished by God that he'd have known that what McNamara was going to say on Saturday, how they felt on Wednesday, whatever day he raised. And then the New York Times is feeding it around, and Heller, and different ones. So I think that if we spend 2 days negotiating with them, they'll be in the same position. So I would have a lawyer, if we've got lawyers and staff work that can write the order, I'd damn sure have it get out that we're going to call for bids. I'd give Buford a half a day to bring them in before dark tonight. If they don't, before I left the office, I'd tell them I'm getting ready to sell this. And I just believe that you can say that that you expect this will just be one, whatever it is, 15% or 20% of Vietnam's increased needs alone. You just tie that to your order selling 50,000 tons and say, we're going to have increased needs of 200,000 extra, so this is 25% of the, only 25% of the extra aluminum we're going to need in Vietnam. And we're not going to buy it from foreigners, or we're not going to buy it from high prices. We're just going to sell it for the price that is being sold for, whatever we can get for it. We'll see. We'll see from our offers whether this is a good price or not. We'll just test it and see how much we get from this and determine whether aluminum is worth 25 cents. Now, that was my thoughts. You correct them any way you want to, modify them any way you want to, and I'll go with you, but that's my judgment.
Very good, sir. We'll go ahead that way.
All right.